Praise God. This is January the 16th, 2011. And we're looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And I want to read specifically verse 6. And we're going to talk about verse 6 and what it means a little bit. It says, and having a readiness to revenge all disobedience. When your obedience is fulfilled. Now in the Amplified, being in readiness to punish every insubordination for his disobedience when your own submission and obedience as a church are fully secure and complete. This is where everybody needs to, this is the goal. This is something to shoot for. Now, does that mean that we're going to all of a sudden one day arrive to the point where you never grow anymore? You never have to learn anymore? You know, you've got all the revelation you need? Is this talking about having all knowledge and all mysteries and understanding all mysteries? No, this is talking about when you and I are in a position within our own hearts that being obedient to God is more important than anything else in our lives. That pleasing God, we're in a readiness state. It's like we live a ready state. We live in a readiness of mind to always say, God, you're first. You're first place in my life. Your word is first place. I would be appalled, God. I would just be appalled if I let something in my life override the word of God. I would just be appalled, God. I would be just sick inside if I let something have the ascendancy over what I know is the truth in my life personally. You see, I believe we have to come to a place where our readiness is, we are so ready to revenge anything that's not, does not honor God, does not honor His word. We take it personal. I take it personal. So I have this plumb line for myself. Now let's go back now and read why that statement is there. And what is Paul really talking about? Let's go back to verse 1 of chapter 10. Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold towards you. Now I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present, but with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. Now he's getting ready to share some major information here. For though we walk in the flesh. Well, far as I know, that's the only way to walk around on this earth is in the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. It's telling you what the weapons are. They're not carnal. They're not fleshly. But they're mighty. That's good news to know that your weapons are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now there's the key. Your warfare is called the warfare of strongholds. Your warfare, my warfare, is a warfare of strongholds. And when you start, to me, when I'm in battle, if I can't put a bullseye on what I'm dealing with, I've got to know what am I dealing here with. Every time I've ever come against the devil or ever come against a spiritual battle in my life or even a physical battle or whatever's going on in my life, I know there's a source that I need to put the bullseye on. I need to put a big red dot on it and a circle around it so I can attack that source of the problem. There is a source to every situation in your life. There is a bullseye you need to draw on your problems. Every single one of us need to find out who is the enemy. What am I fighting? Am I just beating the air? Am I just waking up every day? Something's attacking you. You've got a problem. You've got an enemy. Well, it says the weapons are not carnal, but mighty through God. That's good news. But what are you using these weapons on? What are these weapons designed to attack and deal with? If the weapons are mighty through God, they're mighty through God for a reason. And it's so you can pull down strongholds. You can take them out. You can put them in the crosshairs. You can look at them straight in the eye, and you can deal with them with the Word of God. Most people do not know how to weld a gun. I'm talking about a Word of God gun or a bazooka or whatever it is you need to pull out of your artillery, because we are in a warfare. Whew-wee, that makes me feel so much better to know that I have access to mighty weapons. I have access to heavenly weaponry. I have access to grenades and bazookas and everything. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Jesus said, you shall tread upon scorpions and serpents and nothing. And I've given you power over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. But when he says, I've given it to you, if I come up to you and just said, oh, I'm going to give you this, well, can you please show it to me? I'd like to know what you've given me. You've given me all this power. You've given me all this weaponry. You've given me all this ability. Well, where is it? I'd like to see it. Where's your stash of artillery? I'd like to see the ammo. Let me see the ammo. Where do you store it? Well, I'm getting ready to show you some things about warfare. For the weapons of our warfare. Now, do you think you are better than Jesus? Do you think you're better than the Apostle Paul? Or do we think we're better than any of the other saints that have lived before us? No. They all had warfare. The reason is because there's an enemy. Verse 5 says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. This still is not, this right here is still not what you are warring against. This is just you getting ready. This is your readiness right here to do the warfare. You're not going to be able to put the bullseye on the devil until you get this under your belt, the readiness. And this is what he says here in the next verse. And having in a readiness, see, this readiness is in your mind. Until we are ready to be put on the front lines, they would not take a Marine recruit that just got off the bus from New York or whatever city and put him on the front lines and hand him an M16 and say, okay, go after the enemy. They would not do that, because for one thing, their thinking is still back in New York. Their thinking is still on the streets or in school or whatever training they were passed in their past. That's where they were, and that's where they're still at until they go through boot camp and they get a readiness put into them and how to deal with the enemy. So I don't think half the church is not really in a readiness state of mind. We really have not got ourselves ready, and we've not got to the point where we are in a readiness to revenge everything that brings disobedience or dishonor to God and His Word. We ain't got there yet. Most of us, it's easy to pet the devil, pet sin, pacify it, overlook it, make excuses for it, embrace it. Maybe it'll go away. Maybe it'll go. No, we have not got to this point. See, it's still not talking about what we're really warring against. These are the things that'll keep you from doing a good warfare. Those imaginations and all these obstacles that between your ears are going to keep you from really hitting the bullseye, hitting the target. You're not equipped to do warfare until you deal with you. So I deal with me, and I deal with my way of thinking, and I bring my mind and my thoughts and my thought life into obedience to Christ until I realize I better get the mind of Christ on this. I better start thinking Jesus' thoughts after Him. So this verse here, this chapter here, we've read it, but I'm telling you, he is talking about getting ready how to fight the good fight of faith, because it's a fight. Praise God. I don't want to get away from this too far, but keep this in mind, that you really are the king of your castle. You really do have a responsibility when it comes to the warfare. We want God to just do all the work, but he's given us everything we need. Everything we need. Jesus has given us some instructions in Matthew chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 19. It says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. Now, didn't I just read where it says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, are not fleshly, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds? But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. We have looked at these verses and we have said, oh, that's about money. That's about stuff. We're still thinking about the flesh. See, but I'm talking about getting you in a readiness of mind to do warfare. And what Jesus was telling those first apostles about laying up treasure, it has to do with getting out of your comfort zone. Getting out and start realizing there's a spirit world. There's right ways of thinking in the spirit world. So what kind of treasures can I lay up in the spirit world? What kind of treasures am I actually laying up for myself? Oh, but I'll just get to them. I won't even be no good to me till I die and go to heaven. I just see people crying about heaven. I used to pray a lot around the altars with people. And it was like, oh God, I've done all that you said to do. I was so good. I've been this, I've been that. I've got some treasure. I know I'll get it when I get to heaven. He's not talking about that. That comes with it. But this is talking about you got to lay up some things right now in store for the test, in store for the battle. Lay up some things right now and get prepared. Get a readiness and a preparation made for things in heaven. You got a treasure chest. Now, we think of treasures, we think of just money and things of that nature. You see, I don't think of money when I look at this anymore. I don't think of money anymore. I think of provision. Provision is what this is talking about. You lay up for yourselves in heaven provision for the warfare, for the hard times. You get your mind right. Get your thinking right. Your treasures are really within you. Because Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is within you. So when you start laying up provision. See, I started laying up provision for myself. I started laying up provision for myself in heavenly places. For my life is hidden in Christ. I've been made to sit in heavenly places. My provision has been laid up. I'm laying up some provision for myself. Every time I pray, every time I read the word, and when I begin to speak the word, and not only that, it's not just enough to speak the word anymore. You got to believe the word. You got to look at your situation, pull out what provision you've made for your life and your mind with readiness of mind, and you need to deal with the devil. So you can go on to advance to the next thing. See, God was moving us into different levels all the time. So I'm laying up for myself. This is what I do. I do this. I don't just haven't just done it once and never do it again. I continually lay up provision for myself. And then what's he go on and talk about? You do this for yourself. If you like yourself, you'll do this. I like me. I plan to be victorious. I plan to enjoy my life while I'm here. Because I know he said I came to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. Provision. I do this for me. I like me. Then he says, where your treasure is, there will what be also? Your heart. Okay, well, I'm still on earth. See, you're still thinking fleshly. But we walk in the flesh. We don't war after the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal or fleshly, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Your treasure is your weaponry. Your treasure, your provision, whatever it is you're going to deal with in your life, whatever might come along in life, because, you know, there is a real devil and he really hates us. He's walking around seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. You see, your treasure is your provision for famines, problems, kids being sick. I don't care what it is. Put it in any category under death you want. You've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. But what most of us still are living in the kingdom of darkness. It's like trying to serve God in the kingdom of light, but yet so much of our mind is still in the kingdom of darkness. We still don't see any hope. We don't see any help. We don't see any of this. You know, how's God going to do that? We've not laid up our treasures. Then he says, the light of the body is the eye. This is such a powerful, powerful revelation here, if you hear it. How do you perceive things around you? How do you look at things that come? You get a notice in the mail. You get a bad report. Your eyes look at it. And all of a sudden, the brain starts ticking. All the information is starting to gather. And you talk about a carnally minded person, one who's not ready to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled, one who's not there yet, they're going to start thinking carnally and fleshly and worldly and trying to figure out how they can fix it through their only old methods they've always been adapted to in the world. It's time to get out of that. We can't go there anymore. Now it's time to walk into the right way of seeing, the right way of perceiving, having your eye single. He said, if your eye's single, then your whole body will be full of light. In other words, you're going to have illuminated revelation on how God would deal with this. You'll see how God would take care of the situation, how to believe God for it. You'll have a readiness. You'll have a readiness to revenge all disobedience. Anything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God will be under your feet, and you'll take out the treasure, the provision you have laid up in your heart, for where your treasure or provision is, there is your heart, and then you'll be able to deal with the problem. That's the warfare. But I know that I have to lay up treasures, provisions for myself right here and right now in heavenly places, in my spirit man. My heart is more connected to heaven than my heart is connected to this world. Didn't used to be that way. But as you lay up treasures, as you lay up provision in your heart, having a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. See, I don't think our obedience is fully full yet. I think we're still in some error and disobedience yet. Because anytime your flesh rules your life, fear rules your life, worry rules your life, unbelief rules your life, you're still walking in the flesh. You're still fleshly, carnally, real person. Where we are walking in our treasure or our provision, and we've come to a readiness to revenge all this disobedience, anything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. You know, the devil's got his voice on you. He knows exactly what to say to you. He knows exactly how to torment you. But when you start realizing he's a liar, 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 pants on fire. You're a liar, devil. You're a liar. Let me tell you what it's going to turn out like. Let me tell you what God says about this. Let me tell you, devil, what's going to happen. Let me talk back to you now. You've been tormenting me and talking to me. Let me talk to you now. See, it's all a faith issue. It's all about where is your heart, where is your treasure, where is your faith. It's all about your faith. It's all about having a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled or filled full. I don't know about you, but I want my obedience full in His Word. Therefore, take no thought. Take no thought. It's like, okay, if I think hard enough about this, or I worry hard enough, or I cry and pray hard enough about this, maybe it'll change. You got to even be careful how you pray, because your prayers can just be your thoughts. Your prayers can just all be full of thinking, your own thinking, your own ideas, your own thoughts, your own attitudes. You can tell God all about what He needs to do to fix your situation. The situation really is in your mouth. It's in your heart and in your mouth, the Word of God which we preach. That's what it is. With the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. What is it do you need to be saved from? Your salvation is that close. Your rescue moment is in your heart and in your mouth. What do you believe in your heart? You're going to speak it out of your mouth. I caught myself saying something the other day. I said, Lord, That's in my heart, isn't it? I wouldn't have said it if it wasn't in my heart. Couldn't have said it if it wasn't in my heart. Did you know you can't say something without it being in your heart first? That's scary. Your heart, your mouth will tell on you. Every time. Then he goes on, he says, verse 33. But seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Before I read that, I want to read verse 32. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Seek. Every day we get in survival mode. We're in slave mentality. We just expect the same thing to happen today to us that happened yesterday to us. We expect the same situation to not change. We don't live in expectation of God moving in, God's word working. God's word works. I've worked the word and I know it works. And the wonderful part about this verse here is that for your heavenly Father, he's my Father. I didn't have a bad earthly father. But I mean, I got even a better heavenly Father. He's a whole lot better at fathering me. He fathers me. He's my Father. He said, I withhold no good thing from those who walk uprightly before you, before me. That's what God said. Something that'll really help you if you get a revelation of this. If God ever said it in his word, if God ever said, if you can find it, thus saith the Lord in his word, he would say it to you also. If you can see a thus saith the Lord in the Old Testament, he hasn't changed his mind. He said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you can find a thus saith the Lord and you can believe that thus saith the Lord, then it'll be just as if God spoke it to you personally. That has helped me. Because God would not do anything for somebody else that he would not do it for me. He is no respecter of persons. He does not make any difference in somebody. He knows those who believe his word. And what's the worst that could happen to you? What's the worst that could happen to me? What's the worst? I could die? Well, that wouldn't be bad. That's not a bad thing in my mind. You think that's a bad thing? Huh. I think it's a happy thing. I want nobody sad at my funeral. I want everybody happy at my funeral because I see with different eyes. I see glory. I see angels. I see time clock, time to hit that time clock. Remember how anxious we always were to get off work? Oh, man, I can't wait to look at what time it is. Man, it is time to go home. I can't wait. See, I believe that God is calling a people who really are more heavenly minded than earthly minded. I know my time clock. I'm going to be hitting that time clock one of these days. And I think it's a graduation. It's not a bad thing to go to heaven. To me, it's a good thing. Don't you weep for me because I'm going to be happier than you are. I'll be in a better place than you are if you're still here. But I believe that God wants us to enjoy our life while we're here and know how to deal with the devil and learn how to deal with ourselves. And the key is this verses I'm giving you this morning. But seek you first. This is another clue. Seek first the kingdom. This is all in the same chapter. Jesus is talking. He never changed his mind here. Seek you first the kingdom of God. You know, you ever notice the word but? Somebody can tell you a whole bunch of things and then at the end they'll say, but. That's what he's doing here. All this instructions. But if you'll just do this, it takes care of all the other. If you just do this one verse, seek you first the kingdom of God and his way of doing things, his righteousness, his way of thinking, his way of believing. And all the things in life will be added to you, whatever you need. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We have got to get ready for the warfare. If you're in warfare right now, time to really beef up the training. I want to go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 now. And I want to talk a little bit about casting down imaginations. Chapter 10, verse 5. This is a powerful exhortation. One that we can never get away from. Because you know that the very nature of imaginations in your mind, the very nature of a picture the devil wants to paint in your mind is all about exalting itself against God's word. What did the devil want to do from the very beginning? What was his sin? I want to raise my throne above the Most High. He wanted to exalt his throne, himself above the Most High, right? Okay, so every time you have something that rises up and trumps what God has said about something, that's the imagination that needs to be cast down. If there's something that comes along in your mind that says, oh, but you can't go to church, or you can't do this, you can't serve God. Well, you know what immediately comes to my mind? Forsake not the assembling of yourself together, even though much more as you see the day approaching. Well, I think we're seeing the day approaching pretty quick. So how much more are we not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together? That's the word of God. Am I not speaking the word of God? I didn't speak that. God spoke it. I can take you to it, verse and chapter. Okay? A thought comes. I'm just using it as an example. A thought comes. An imagination rises up. You see the picture. You see, your imagination is a powerful tool. It can be used for good and it can be used for bad. The devil knows how powerful this imagination ability in you is. The imagination can rule your life. The wrong imagination can destroy your life. So the imagination says, let's paint the picture here. Do you know how strong your imagination is against you if it's not in the things of the kingdom? If it's not working for you in behalf of the things of God? God wants to build his imagination. He wants you to think his thoughts after him. He wants you to see how he says it's all going to turn out. He wants you to see the outcome more clearly than you can see the devil's plan. He wants you to see his outcome, his plan, for good for you in an imagination than the way the devil says it's going to turn out. See, we've got this vivid picture of all the negativity and all the imagination can come up with of what's really going to happen to me in a given situation. But the Lord says, no, your imagination has got to be so enwrapped in the things of the treasures that you've laid up in your heart that your imagination sees the thing completely done before you ever get it done. That's what imagination does. An imagination gives you the ability in your mind's eye to see the finished product. And I began to then see what the Word of God says about a situation and see the painting in a whole different way. I saw the outcome differently. I began to see it the way God saw it. I began to think his thoughts after him. I began to paint my own ending of the situation. This is part of your warfare. This is part of your weaponry. You got to know how to take your imagination and allow the Word of God to be so real to you in your heart that you can literally paint your own outcome and then start speaking to it. Speaking to it, speaking to it. See it done the way you want it done, the way God says it'll end. There is an answer for every situation, an answer for every problem. God's plan is pretty well outlined in this word. If you can see it and you can believe it, then you can have it. But you got to believe it. You got to put it in your mouth. That's why Jesus was so adamant when he said, you think this is something? If you say to that sycamine tree, be thou removed. If you had just the faith of a grain of mustard seed, you could speak to a sycamine tree and tell it to remove itself and be cast into the sea. It would have to obey you. Isn't this powerful? Being equipped is what it is. It's being equipped. It's being ready to be in readiness. This is where you are getting to. This is where I'm getting to. I want to be in a readiness to revenge all disobedience. Anything in my life that rises up and tries to say, oh, no, I don't know about that. I don't know about that, God. I don't know if that really works or not. God cannot lie. Something's got to bend, not God. God is not going to bend for me. I'm going to have to bend for him. You know, there's a scripture that says that upon this rock, I'm going to build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Jesus talks about his revelation being the rock. And then when he talks about him being the cornerstone, and he said that if you don't believe, he said, it'll crush you. It'll fall on you. If you don't fall on it and be broken, it'll fall on you and you'll be ground powder. There's a reason he says that, because it's either one way or the other. He said, I would that you be hot or cold. If you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. It's really no in between in the things of God. That's why it's so important to do verse 5. You've got to cast down those imaginations. If you've already got the whole thing figured out, just take a big eraser board, chalkboard or whatever, eraser, and erase it. And allow the Word of God to show you the outcome of the problem. If you can start seeing God's way of thinking and see that eye, if your eye be single, your whole body be full of light. Now you see why the verses are making sense. Lay not up for yourself treasure on this earth. Don't spend all your time thinking about how you're going to accumulate for yourself here. Because your thought processes have got to be on getting your thinker thinking along the lines of God's Word. That's got to be more important than anything. Because like I said, what's the worst that's going to happen? Do you think you'll go hungry? I know I'll not go hungry. This girl here knows I know some things. I know some things in my knower. I have a knower where I've got some treasures hid. And I know there's some things I absolutely know. I quote this verse all the time. It's in Hebrews chapter 13. And it's one we need to look at. And I'm going to close. Hebrews chapter 13. Are you glad you came to church this morning? Hebrews 13, verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness. Because that's what, remember what Jesus said? For all the Gentiles seek after these things. Take no thought what you're going to wear, what you're going to drink, and what you're, because all Gentiles, everybody out there in the world thinks like that. He said, don't let your conversation or your manner of life, the word conversation, it really means your character or moral disposition, your way of thinking. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. Let's go back to that imagination. I'm going to see if I can help you see this. He hath said, this is a treasure you lay up for yourself in your heart. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. This is a treasure right here. This is what Jesus hath said. God hath said this. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that I may boldly say, you see how he said it first? He said it first. You heard it with your ears. He said, the Lord hath said, you got to hear this with your heart. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You got to hear it with ears of faith. And then you will boldly say, see, when you've heard that, remember, I always say, it's the word you're doing, your word you really heard. If you're doing this, you really heard this. If after today you can go away from here and say this boldly, this is part of your warfare. Part of casting down imaginations, because I'm telling you, the enemy will come with a picture of famine and death and poverty, and you'll lose everything and blah, 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 yuck stuff. But when you see that the Lord says, I will boldly say, the Lord's my helper, I will not fear. I will not fear. I will not fear. I will not fear, devil. I will not fear what man can do to me. I will not fear what man can do to me. That's that casting down that imagination. Bring every thought to the obedience of Christ. If that's not what that says, I don't know what else it could say. But I know that's what it's saying. That's exactly what he's talking about. Bringing, and then when your readiness is ready, when you finally have got all the bases covered, you know, the biggest things we worry about is really, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to wear? Am I going to have a roof over my head? All of this is kind of covered in this one verse. Lord's my helper. I will not fear what man can do unto me. That's good news. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that would exalt itself against the knowledge of God. And bringing into obedience every thought to the obedience of Christ. Every thought. Guess what happens when you bring your thought life? Oh, I can't quit yet. God said, no, one more verse. This is wrapping it up right here. Holy Spirit. Blame the Holy Spirit, y'all. Matthew 15. And I'll end with this verse. We don't realize how our negativity and our ungodly talking destroys our faith. We just don't realize. But here's what he said here in Matthew 15, verse 18. 15:18, but those things which proceed out of the mouth cometh forth from the heart. That's a rule. That's an absolute. That's one of those absolutes. Take no thought what you're going to eat, drink, wear. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do unto me. Okay. The imagination, you've casted down that imagination. It's exalting itself against the knowledge of God. And you're bringing into obedience your thought life. Because out of your heart comes words. But those things which proceed out of your mouth come forth from where? The heart. That's why you got to lay up treasures in heavenly things. In heavenly purposes. Heavenly plans. Heavenly thoughts. Heavenly words. You've got to lay up your provision in heavenly places. You've been made to sit there, you know. That's where your life is hid since you've been a Christian, born again. For where your heart is, there will your treasure be also. And guess what? When your heart's where your treasure is, the Word of God, it's going to come out of your mouth. Because that's what he just said. I will boldly say, the Lord's my helper. Now then he goes on, verse 19. The contrary also is true too. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts. Oh, God's not going to take care of me. He doesn't care about me. He's not going to protect me. He's going to let me die. Anything negative, anything against God's word is an evil thought. And you just got to know that. Everything that is against, has exalted itself against the word of God is an evil word. It come from the evil one. It didn't come from heaven. It came out of darkness. Every word, and now this, see, I can tell you, most of us are not in a readiness to revenge all disobedience and insubordination. Most of us are not there. And then he goes on, he says, out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murderers, adulteries, fornications, theft, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. These are the things that defile a man. So if that's true, and it is because Jesus said it was, then that means that we can also, out of the good treasures of our heart, bring forth good things. Good things can start coming out. And there's a bigger list of good. I'm not going to go into all the list of good things that can come out, but those thieves, deceitfulness, lasciviousness, adulteries, fornication, idolatry, all those things are categories of sin. And you could list like under thief, could be a lot of things under there. Adultery, a lot of things under there. I mean, it's just a category of evil. Thank you, Jesus. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful and above all things, desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. Who can know it? You can't know your own heart. That's why you've got to get in the Word and change your heart. Change your heart with the Word and believe the Word. Father, I just seal this Word this morning. Thank you for it. Thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.